Becker. Episode 10, White Lightning.
She must have fallen from the roof.
No. No, that's impossible. She couldn't have gotten up there.
Maybe not. But she did.
Accidental death?
Now, the sergeant said she didn't suffer.
Oh, I'm sure she was grateful. This woman had severe arthritis, Mr. Hickey. She couldn't walk more than 6 feet. How on earth did she climb up to the roof in the middle of a thunderstorm? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't matter if it makes sense, Becker. The important thing is that it wasn't foul play.
That's it?
Well, not quite. Miss Painter was very well connected. I'm afraid it's going to be necessary to establish that the hotel bears no responsibility in all this.
You want me to look into it?
I'm afraid I do, but discreetly, Becker. Quickly and discreetly.
Kid gloves, Mr. Hickey.
Exactly. I'll expect a report tomorrow.
Miss Davies?
Mr. Becker, I didn't expect to see you again.
May I come in?
Please. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to thank you for everything you did.
You've had enough on your mind.
You're very kind. What can I do for you?
I'm just trying to clear up the loose ends.
More questions? You won't mind if I go on packing. It keeps me occupied.
No, go ahead.
It's amazing, isn't it? Someone as crippled as Miss Painter with so many clothes. She loved them, you know. I should have seen it coming, Mr. Becker.
Why do you say that?
It's what I was paid to do.
Miss Painter employed you?
I was her companion.
Which means...
A nurse, a secretary, a friend, whatever was called for.
Are there many positions like that?
Quite a few. Although I doubt I'll be seeing one for some time to come.
Oh, why is that?
Having your employer fall off a roof isn't exactly a wonderful testimony to your services.
I'm sure it's
no
reflection.
No, you shouldn't encourage me. I'm already feeling sorry for myself. When you consider what Miss Painter had to endure, it's just a bit pathetic to be worried about your next job, isn't it?
Could you give me an idea of how she spent her time lately?
Yes. I knocked her up about 7 o'clock. We got her dressed and we went to breakfast in the dining room at 8. There was a post at 9. Then I took her to the hot springs from 10 to 12. Lunch from 12:30 to 1:30. We kept up with her correspondence in the early afternoon and returned to the springs at around 3:30. Dinner at 7. Then we played cards till she retired at 10.
So you were with her most of the time?
All the time, except when she slept.
Was she depressed?
Not that I noticed.
Well, maybe her condition
would make her... She'd accepted that long ago.
But she did come to the hot springs.
More as a holiday than a treatment.
Did she have a doctor?
Miss Painter probably knew more about arthritis than most doctors, Mr. Becker. She'd spent many years and a lot of money researching it.
So she wasn't seeing a doctor?
Miss Painter took responsibility for herself. If she was seeing one, she didn't tell me.
In order for Miss Painter to get to the roof, she had to climb a 12-foot ladder from the 14th floor, push open the hatch, and pull herself out. Could someone in her condition have done that?
Probably not, but Jane might. She had a very strong will.
And she might have had help.
Don't know who.
Forget your wheelchair, Mr. Becker?
Ma'am?
Welcome to the hot spring.
I'm afraid... Have we been introduced?
We all know you. You're something to talk about. There's not a lot we want to talk about around here.
What about Jane Painter?
Oh, we're talking about her.
Did you know her?
No, I wouldn't say I knew her. But she always had a cheery good morning, Mrs. Meek.
When was the last time you saw her?
Oh, let me see. Not for a couple of weeks now. Just after my birthday.
I was told she came down every morning.
Not for the last 2 weeks.
Do you know why she stopped coming?
Most people stop coming when they give up. They can't stand the company anymore.
Did she appear depressed?
No, not like some of these old crows. Actually, she appeared slow, a bit dreamy, as if she wasn't quite here.
Dreamy? As if she were drugged?
It's possible.
Did you ever see Jane Painter with anyone else?
Just her companion, Miss Davies.
You know Miss Davies?
Quite well. I was hoping that she would work for me once. Unfortunately, I couldn't afford her, and she went to Jane Painter. I went to my son, poor man.
And you never saw Miss Painter with anyone else?
No.
Did she have a doctor?
Oh, I'm sure she had one at home. But here, doctors don't give much credit to the Springs. There aren't a lot of them around, and I'm not sure that I'd trust the ones who are.
But you trust the Springs?
My daughter-in-law wheels me down here every day while my son's off playing golf. This way, they can have their vacation without feeling guilty at leaving me behind.
I've been told that Jane Painter thought of it more as a vacation than a treatment.
Vacation? Look around you. Is this your idea of a vacation? It's like sitting vigil at an endless funeral.
Miss Painter. Miss Painter, let me see.
Suite 416.
I know that. Excuse me, Becker. Hotel switchboard. I'm afraid that line is busy, ma'am. She hung up. I'm telling you, Becker.
Miss Painter?
416, right? Well, now, we don't keep records, but sometimes if I pull out the plug like this, I can get a feeling for where it wants to...
You're pulling my leg.
Laugh if you like, but... 512. She called 512 quite a few times lately, mostly at night. Late at night.
You sure of this?
My mother predicted the Great War, Becker.
I wish she'd warned me. Now, the big question, who's in 512?
You'll have to look at the register for that. They're all numbers to me.
Dr. Hartman, room 512?
Yes. And you are?
Becker, sir. Hotel detective.
Really? What can I do for you, Mr. Becker?
I'd like to ask you about Jane Painter.
The poor girl on the roof. I hardly know anything about her.
Please?
Well, if you like. Sit down. Can I offer you something? A cup of coffee?
No, thank you.
You don't mind talking here, I hope.
Oh, not at all. I don't get out enough.
Magnificent, aren't they? The mountains. They put things back in perspective.
Jane Painter?
Jane Painter. She consulted me 2 or 3 times about a month ago. I think she had difficulty sleeping.
And you haven't had contact with her since then?
No, not really.
You're certain?
She did phone me a couple of times recently. She wanted me to accept a directorship on the board of a research foundation.
And did you?
I was considering it. Miss Painter had a remarkably open mind to new healing techniques.
Her companion thinks she knew more than many doctors.
Quite possible. The medical profession is remarkably hidebound.
But not you.
I'm hardly a quack, Mr. Becker, if that's what you're suggesting. But I do have a higher opinion of the healing powers of nature. And I don't turn my back on despair.
Do you think Miss Painter was in despair?
I wasn't referring to her.
Well, wouldn't she have had to be somewhat desperate to climb up to the roof?
Perhaps, but anything is possible if you've got the will for it. I'll tell you, if she managed it herself, it was a magnificent effort.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
But you should. We're taught to think of these people as victims, but for Jane Painter, climbing that roof was every bit the achievement that one of these mountains would be for you or me. In a word, magnificent. I mean, imagine the scene. The thunder, the lightning. She was climbing to meet her God.
Oh, sound
sounds like a bad day all around.
Don't laugh, Fiona. I'm not getting anywhere. And everybody's lying to me.
You sure?
Pretty sure. Miss Davies, she's the companion, told me Jane Painter spent her days at the hot springs. The first thing I find out is that she didn't. In fact, she hasn't been there for at least 2 weeks.
So, where was she?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
What about this Dr. Hartman?
He's a little more careful than Miss Davies, but he suspected that I knew Jane had been phoning him.
Are you sure about that?
He made up a story about her calling to offer him a directorship.
Could be true.
She called him at night, late at night. I don't think they were discussing research.
Maybe he took her up to the roof.
Oh, you're getting me even more depressed.
Was there anything I can do?
I don't know. Oh, maybe you can find out about Dr. Hartman. He could have given her something.
Did you have anything specific in mind?
Morphine, perhaps? Mrs. Meek told me that the last time she saw Miss Painter, she seemed dreamy.
Dreamy?
As if she wasn't quite here.
Morphine would hardly give her the strength to climb up to the roof.
Well, there was something wrong, that's for sure. She was a lot more unhappy than she's portrayed.
And why do you say that?
Something Mrs. Meek said. No one goes to the hot springs for a vacation. At least no one in Jane Painter's condition. Oh, God, so sad.
This is really affecting you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask Sam for the bill?
Do you have to go home?
No. I want to go home. And I want you to come with me.
I don't know. I'm not going to be much company.
So, tell me.
What?
Why are you so unhappy?
Oh, I don't know. Too many things come together.
What do you mean?
Well, Hickey always says, you're here to protect Becker, not detect.
He's such an annoying little toad.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. But he is right. I am there to protect. And I take it very badly when I fail.
Fail? Well, how could you have possibly predicted that someone crippled with arthritis could climb to the roof?
I suppose. A few years ago, a woman fell from a ledge on the north face of Mount Hawkins. I should have caught her, but I didn't. Truth is, I wasn't even there to try. And she died. I think of her every time I see that parade of wheelchairs at the hot springs. And I'm almost glad she did.
Her name was Madeline Parker, and you were in love with her.
You've done your research.
Are you warning me off, Becker?
I was just feeling sorry for myself. You know, sometimes I'm just desperate for a drink.
Yes?
Sometimes.
I've got a bottle of sherry, if that would help.
What?
Well, I thought you wanted... I just said I've got a bottle of... Oh, forget it.
Don't ever do that.
What?
I guess your research wasn't as complete as you thought, Fiona. You're talking to a drunk.
But you haven't had a drink for years.
And I'm going to keep it that way.
Becker, I wasn't trying to...
I've got
to
go.
I'll come to the hotel if I find him.
Good night, Fiona.
Good night, Becker. Damn.
I tried to calm down as I trudged up the trail to the Queen, but I wasn't too successful. What did Fiona think she was doing? What did I think I was doing? Sometimes I'm just desperate for a drink. I said that. I set her up. Why was I letting it all get to me? Why couldn't I get the whiskey out of my head? An hour after leaving her, I found myself knocking on Jimmy's door. The little bellboy could get anything, anytime. He wasn't exactly generous, but you knew he'd keep quiet about it.
Come on in. I was asleep.
Sorry, I thought you might... I thought you might have that book.
Book?
The Sun Also Rises? Ernest Hemingway?
Oh, try the bookshelf. Anything you want.
Are you all right, Jimmy?
Just tired.
You sure?
Yeah, just tired. Very tired. Dreaming. I was dancing. Do you think it's important to accept things, Becker?
I guess it depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's down one, Becker.
Ah, got it.
Yeah, it's good. I imagine you've noticed I'm quite short, Becker.
Yeah?
Really short. Do you think I should accept that?
Well, I don't know what you're going to do about it.
You don't know everything, Becker. They're finding new things all the time.
Jimmy.
But if I accept Becker, it'll never happen. Faith can move mountains, Becker.
I don't think so, Jimmy.
I'm going to have another drink.
You've been drinking, Jimmy?
Yeah, you better go, Becker. Take the book. I'm going to drink a lot. You don't want to be here.
Jimmy.
Go on, Becker. I can't pour this in front of you. Most times a good book is better than a good drink anyway.
He was right, I suppose. But I have to admit, I didn't fall on The Sun Also Rises with anything like the kind of enthusiasm I'd have fallen on a fifth of scotch. Truth is, I couldn't ask for it. I'm too ashamed. Particularly when Jimmy was trying to spare me the temptation. I'd never really thought about what the little man had to live with. He never let you. I'd never even seen him drunk before. If I hadn't been so caught up with myself, that would have rung a bell. As it was, it passed me by, and I fell exhausted onto my bed. The next morning...
Miss Davies, you're still here.
Yes. My plans have changed.
Oh, yes?
I have a new position.
As a companion?
I was fortunate. I'm going to work for someone who previously asked for me.
Oh. That would be Mrs. Meek.
How did you know?
Well, she mentioned she had wanted you, but she couldn't afford it.
Her circumstances have changed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, it was Mrs. Meek who told me Jane Painter hadn't been near the hot springs in over 2 weeks.
Oh? Yes, I didn't quite tell you the truth, but I only did it to protect her reputation. You see, she had become quite despondent lately.
Do you know Dr. Hartman, Miss Davies?
Dr. Hartman... Dr. Hartman, no, not very well. Jane saw him a couple of times when we first got here. She was having trouble sleeping.
Yes, Dr. Hartman told me that. Would it surprise you to learn that Miss Painter was making nightly calls to Dr. Hartman?
Yes, it would surprise me, but she had her own room.
Becker.
She could have, but...
Excuse me. Oh, good morning, miss. You'll have to excuse me, Becker. I'm afraid we've had an accident.
What?
Now, this is most distressing, but Jimmy Wright, the bellboy, something's happened.
The thick smell of burning flesh hit me as I pushed open Jimmy's door. The little man's body lay on the floor against his bed, his legs akimbo. His hands were crossed in front of his chest and appeared to be tied together, his fingers twisted into claws. The wires, which had been twisted at one end around his wrists, were burned into his flesh. I guessed the other end had been plugged into the wall. Luckily, the shock must have thrown him backwards and pulled the electrical plug from the socket. Jimmy groaned as I picked him up.
What the hell were you doing, Jimmy?
Moving mountains, Becker. I decided I'd move mountains.
I carried Jimmy to the infirmary. An hour later, I returned to his room for a look around. I righted the chair and sat down in front of the child's desk that he placed between his bed and the wall. On the bottom shelf, I found an account book dating back for years. Jimmy was nothing if not frugal. Putting aside pennies a day, he'd managed to save a larger sum than I had ever seen at one time. But he paid it all out in 2 months. Last week, his balance had dropped to zero. He'd spent his entire savings.
Do you think Jimmy was being blackmailed?
I don't know. All I do know is that Jane Painter falls off a roof in an electrical store. And Jimmy attempts to electrocute himself. Oh, it's not a coincidence. Did you get anything on Dr. Hartman?
Nothing incriminating. He is a legitimate physician. McGill, 1908. He's written a couple of articles on natural therapy.
Drugs?
Anything that involves a natural process. Water, magnetic force, heat, electricity.
Electricity?
Electrotherapy. Low voltage currents are used to stimulate the affected area. You know, maybe it wasn't drugs. Maybe he was treating Jane Painter with electricity. Would that account for her dreaminess?
Dreaminess? Exactly. Exactly how I would have described Jimmy last night. I thought it was drink. I had drink on my mind.
Let's not talk about that.
But it wasn't drink or drugs. It was electricity. He must have been treating Jimmy as well.
For what?
For being short.
What? No.
Well, that's where his money went.
he was paying Dr. Hartman?
And when the money ran out, he tried to continue it himself.
Don't you think you better check this with Jimmy?
Oh, he's unconscious. And it doesn't explain Jane Painter. She could certainly afford the treatment.
Well, maybe she wasn't getting any better. Maybe she threatened to expose him. Maybe he threw her off the roof.
Fool it, Fiona. At the moment, we can't even establish a relationship between them.
Does he have a nurse?
No, but Miss Painter did. Or she had a companion, Miss Davies.
Wouldn't she know?
If she does, she's not telling. She already lied to me once.
That makes her suspicious, doesn't it?
Well, people lie for all sorts of reasons. She says she was trying to protect Miss Painter's reputation.
Well, I suppose she could have been protecting Jane Painter. But she could just as easily be protecting Dr. Hartman.
Or maybe she's protecting herself.
You mean she was an accomplice?
Not exactly. Wait here, Fiona. Get something else to eat. I've got someone to see.
But I hate cream teas.
If I'm right, you're going to have a great story. I have to ask you, Mrs. Meek, how were you able to hire Miss Davies?
What do you mean?
You told me you couldn't afford her.
I was blessed with a benefactor, and that's all I'm going to say.
Then let me put it another way. Miss Painter fell off the hotel roof.
I don't see what that...
And it had to do with the treatment she was receiving.
She hadn't had any treatment for at least a week before the accident.
Who told you that?
Miss Davies, if you must know. I had to ask her. She's coming to work for me.
And before that?
I don't know.
Miss Davies does. That's why your benefactor is buying her silence.
I don't know what you mean.
Yesterday, Miss Davies was afraid she'd never get another position. Suddenly, today, she has one.
He wanted to do something for her.
You know what I think? Miss Davies went to him and offered to keep quiet about what she knew.
But she doesn't know anything.
She knows he was treating Miss Painter with electrotherapy, and she knows that 2 days ago, Miss Painter dragged herself up to the roof in the middle of an electrical storm. What do you think she was looking for?
Enough, enough. Dr. Hartman gave me the money for her first year.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to give the money back now, aren't I?
What money?
Come on, Dr. Hartman. That's quite a climb. Watch your step. It's still slippery. You see down there? That's where we found her.
I'm afraid I'm not very good with heights.
I thought you might like to see where she died.
Yes, thank you. Is that what you wanted me to see?
More or less. You were treating her with electricity, weren't you?
I beg your pardon?
I know that you were, Doctor.
Electrotherapy is hardly illegal.
But you stopped.
You have to understand, electricity is very powerful. Patients tend to think of it as a type of magic. White magic, if you like. White lightning.
That's another word for whiskey, Doctor.
And the comparison is apt. The patient develops a need.
Are you suggesting Miss Painter was addicted to electricity?
No, she was addicted to the therapy. It was her only hope. But she'd had all she could take. I discontinued the treatment over a week ago. It was the only ethical choice.
You cut her off.
She'd had enough.
From a therapy you sold her on.
I'd hardly say sold.
Jane Painter knew a great deal about her condition, Doctor. She wouldn't have been very easily influenced. But you made her believe in electrotherapy.
That was absolutely necessary. Belief moves mountains, Mr. Becker.
And then you cut her off. Cold turkey. Do you have any idea what that's like?
I can empathize.
You make me sick. You left that woman so desperate for a charge that she dragged herself up here in the middle of an electrical storm.
I acted in a totally ethical manner. Now, if you'll step aside. Don't touch me.
What about Jimmy Wright?
Who?
You persuaded Jimmy Wright that he didn't have to be 4 feet tall. You held out the power of electricity.
Anything is possible, Becker, with therapy and faith.
Last night, Jimmy Wright wrapped the ends of an electrical cord around his wrists and plugged it into the wall.
Oh, my God.
I suppose you'd discontinued his treatment as well.
I have no interest in killing my patients, Becker.
You also have no interest in treating them as human beings.
Jimmy Wright was an entirely different case from Jane Painter. I made a difficult professional decision in her case.
While Jimmy just ran out of money.
You pay as you go, Becker. It's not always fair. Now, please, let me pass. We haven't got anything further to say to each other.
Oh, I'm afraid we do, Doctor. That is, if you don't want to read the rest of what I have to say in The Messenger.
The Messenger?
The Cascade Messenger. It's a small paper, but it's influential around here. The editor's waiting below. I promised her a story.
What do you want?
I want you out today.
I have patients here, Becker. I'd be leaving them in the lurch.
I feel for them, Doctor. But mostly it grieves me that they won't know what they've been spared.
So, you gave away my story.
But we got rid of Dr. Hartman.
That's fine, Becker, but the messenger is not a tool for blackmail. I could have warned a lot of people.
Maybe, but... Well, if Hartman had stayed and one other person was hurt, I couldn't accept that.
There are more where Hartman came from.
We do what we can.
That's fine, as long as you don't ever give away my right to do what I can again.
Okay. I'm sorry. There's not much else to say.
I don't know. You could offer to walk me home. The other night, Becker, I didn't realize it was that serious.
It's not, usually.
But it doesn't go away, does it?
Not yet.
When I invited you over, I was thinking...
Yes?
I've thrown out my one bottle of sherry and the unopened bottle of scotch I bought for... Don't make me say everything, Becker.
I don't know what to say.
Well, do what you can. Let's go would be appropriate.
Okay. Let's go.
You just heard White Lightning, Episode 10 of Becker by Martin Kinch. Andy Maton starred in the title role with Daryl Shuttleworth as Sergeant Drake, Gordon Signer as Jimmy, Marie Barron as Miss Watts, and Stephen Hare as Mr. Hickey. Others in the cast were Heather Lee McCallum as Miss Davies, Natasha Georges as Fiona, Kay Grebe as Mrs. Meek, and Grant Raddick as Dr. Hartman. Music for Becker is arranged and conducted by Miles Jackson. The recording engineer was Bob Doble. Sound effects were by Uta Schaffland. The production assistant was Christine Story. Becker is produced and directed in Calgary by Martin Fishman. Our executive producer in Toronto is Bill Howell.